Because in order for there to be a sacrifice, there must be a dying of something. And I would say that where Mary's sacrifice was motivated by love, I think Abraham's sacrifice was motivated by obedience. Sacrifice is a costly expression of love.
Welcome to the shed. Hello. Welcome to The Shed, where we discuss the undiscussed and where we explore the new narrative. Today, we have a new person with me, someone who is someone who has been with me here, working tirelessly at Q-Hop, and I will let her introduce herself.
Well, like he said, I am the tireless person working with him. No, my name is Michelle. I'm just Michelle. And yeah, we work together here at Q-Hop, and it's been a lot of fun. Just helping to keep the fire on the altar here in Q-Hop, which is Quebec. So here we are. And so he's invited me onto his podcast, and I'm excited to be here. And I think it's going to be a good time.
Yes, it will.
Yeah.
Awesome. So thank you for coming. Today, what I wanted to discuss is sacrifice. Mm-hmm. You know, we hear a lot of the word sacrifice, and I think it has been oversaid and overrated. Mm-hmm. But I would like to go in a bit deeper about mm-hmm. what it actually is, and for you, and yeah, just talk about that, okay? Mm-hmm. Will that be okay for you?
That is so okay. I think sacrifice is an interesting word, and I agree with you. I think people use that. It's almost like in Christendom, it's a buzzword, you know? And coming from like a worship culture, it's something that, I remember pastoring these students, and I remember one day we were in like a team huddle before service, and one of the students was like, hey, like, you know, like today, guys, like we're going to go out there and we're just going to like give God our sacrifice, like just give him something super costly, you know, like Mary, like break your oil. Mm. And, you know, it was, I think he had a great heart, and I think he was very passionate about what he was saying, and he totally meant it. But it struck a thought in me, which leads me to the story in the Bible. It's specifically in John 12, where Mary anoints Jesus with this like costly oil. And you know, oftentimes you hear it preached so many times, like, oh man, like, yes, give the Lord a sacrifice, be like Mary. And we constantly talk about her giving this sacrifice. But I think what stands out to me in the story of when Mary pours out her oil before the Lord is that while it was a sacrifice for her and everybody, and we've heard so many sermons about it, the reality is for Mary, it was simply an act of love. Mm. And I would say, like, to your question, like, what does sacrifice mean to you? Is I think that sacrifice is a costly expression of love. Mm. I think that's what I would say sacrifice means, at least what I think it means to me. And I think Mary beautifully models that. It was a costly expression of love. And I think that, my mind goes into so many things here just based on this story, but she was just expressing her love. And again, like we see here when you study it, that it was like a year's wages that she would have poured out. And, you know, it wasn't like she sowed seeds or like she sold it. Like she spilled it out on Jesus. Like she poured it all out on him. And what's beautiful is that, again, like in her pouring that out on him, it splashed all over him. And it probably splashed on everybody in the room, probably. Mm-hmm. But it also splashed back on her. And then again, little did she know that in her doing this sacrificial act, that then the Lord goes on to say that wherever this gospel is preached, mm-hmm. like what she's done today will be spoken of. But then also this act of sacrifice, not only was it something that would be proclaimed for years and years and years and years to come, but also it was a prophetic act unbeknownst to her. She didn't even know that she was doing a profound prophetic act for our Lord and Savior Jesus. And so I think that that's a beautiful thing to even chew on and ponder, that sometimes we make sacrifices in life and you don't know what your sacrifice is prophesying, mm-hmm. and you don't know what your sacrifice is proclaiming. Mm-hmm. And you won't always know how heaven responds to it and what the reward or the impact of your sacrifice. I mean, from this woman's beautiful expression of love to our Lord and Savior Jesus, songs have been written, you know what I mean? T-shirts have been printed, you know what I mean? But more than anything, lives have been impacted, and I think we're all challenged. And I think the way she loved Jesus, again, sacrificially, it speaks to us even in today, and it will continue to speak.
Thank you for that beautiful illustration. When you said act of love, it really struck a chord in me, mm-hmm. because when you love someone, you know, love is a verb. It is mm-hmm. it is not a noun. There is a sacrifice, quote unquote, that you need to do. That you mm-hmm. need to do something. Mm-hmm. And we see here with Mary that all she had was that oil. Mm-hmm. But that is all she gave all that she had. Mm-hmm. And that was her act of love, her sacrificial mm-hmm. Sacrifice, as it were. And mm-hmm. and this is something that I think if people can resonate with that and seeing it as it is an act of love mm-hmm. and not per se, oh, I'm going to lose something or mm-hmm. I'm losing something. No, but when you think of it as, I am actually giving, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I am giving out mm-hmm. of, you know, from myself with everything that mm-hmm. I have. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, I think it is truly a beautiful, beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. An amazing thing that when she did that, like you said, it is something that we proclaim still till mm-hmm. this day. Mm-hmm. We're even talking about mm-hmm. it now, mm-hmm. you know. Yeah. So this is something that I think we can all learn from, mm-hmm. Of doing, mm-hmm. you know, sacrifice is doing. It is an act of love when mm-hmm. you love someone. You know, many times I've watched podcasts and YouTube or whatnot about, you know, marriage life. I remember Tim Ross says marriage is work. Mm-hmm. It is work. It isn't all, you know, oh, everything is great, everything mm-hmm. is chill. No, it is work. Mm-hmm. Marriage is work. It is mm-hmm. the doing. You are sacrificing. Mm-hmm. You are doing something out of act of love. Mm-hmm. And this is something that is quite beautiful. And so this is how you would define it, right? Mm-hmm. Like an act of love. Mm-hmm. Hmm. Act of love.
But I also think that you can also see that sacrifice. Another example I would say of sacrifice is Abraham in Genesis 22 when the Lord asks him to give up Isaac, mm-hmm. right? And I would say that where Mary's sacrifice was motivated by love, I think Abraham's sacrifice was motivated by obedience, mm-hmm. really, but again, goes back to love,
yeah.
right? And I think that, again, there are different motivators behind why we make the sacrifices that we make. Mm-hmm. But again, like, it's a beautiful picture of, again, like with Mary, you see it was her humanity, you know, pouring out to his yeah. divinity, right? And then you see in the story of Abraham with the father, God asking him to give up Isaac, it's really divinity coming to humanity and yeah. asking for the most, like, sacred thing that he had.
Yeah.
And I was just listening to the story again this morning, and I love, there's just so much in it, but I love, you see that Abraham knew the Father. He knew the heart of the Father. Because mm-hmm. he says to his servant, he says, the boy and I will go and worship and will return.
Mm-hmm.
So he's letting, and I think, I just love scripture. Mm-hmm. I don't think any word is in there by accident. It's on purpose. And so you see his faith. And like when I read that, I see that Abraham also, and this speaks to sacrifice, that we're able to make particular sacrifices. And oftentimes I ask the Lord this, and I remember even actually I had the opportunity to travel with Bill Johnson 2 years ago, and I remember he was telling us stories, and I said, Bill, do you think that God asks people to do crazy things based on the measure of like his intimacy, like the intimacy that they have with him. Because I think that's my belief, you know? And I think it's, what is it, Daniel 11:23 says that they that know their God will do great exploits.
Yes.
And I think that because Abraham was so intimate with the Father. It's because Abraham was so intimate with the Father, I think even though, and again, scripture doesn't show us, and I'm so curious. Sometimes I ask God, okay, God, can I sleep tonight? And you take me back to the story in the Bible and show me what the whole, give me the tea, God, like what really happened. Like, I'm so curious if I can interview Abraham and God and be like, so what was that conversation like, Lord? Like, the Bible just tells us, he said, Abraham, take your son. And then, okay, Lord, I'm like, is that it? Or was it like, Abraham, did you like lament? I mean, I lament over the littlest things. It takes me 3 days to do some certain things. Abraham, like, what was it like? Or was it immediate obedience? Were you like, boom, you know? Did you talk about it with your wife? I think you didn't, because I feel like if you had told your wife that you were going to take your child and kill it, she would have fought you. She would have killed Abraham. So, you know, even that's a whole sermon, and there's so much there about even boundaries and marriage and, like, when God speaks and, like, what do you, like, as a husband or as a leader of the house, like, what do you share? And there's just so much there that you can unpack, right? Okay. But he goes and he takes the boy and they go. And again, it just stayed with me that he said, the boy and I will go and worship and we'll return. And so I think that Abraham had a deep-seated confidence in the nature of God, that he knew that, okay, you are asking me to sacrifice the very thing I have waited my whole life for. But I love you, and so I'll do it. And I believe that you are so good and you love me that even if you kill my son, you'll raise him back to life. Like, some way, somehow, this promise that you gave me isn't over, even though it seems so crazy what's happening, you know? And so I that's my guesstimation, that I think that perhaps that was Abraham's heart posture in him being willing. And as the scripture plays out for us, like, immediately he got up and they rose and they went and whatnot. And I just want to give a shout out to Isaac as well, because I mean the obedience of the son. But we know that this is such a picture, and again, it's prophesying. I love the book of Genesis. It's prophesying of what was going to come. And again, it was really a beautiful dance between divinity and humanity. And kind of almost conceiving this picture of what was to come with our Savior, our Lord Jesus, who would come, again, who is the Son of God, and again, yields to the will of the Father, right? And that was Isaac, you know, and I think it's very significant, the imagery, and I think it's very intentional of Scripture, like, that Isaac carried the wood on his back, which is a picture of Jesus carrying the cross, right? And again, you don't hear him complaining,
but did
or
he
like,
know, though?
Like, we but the thing
we
is,
do not know.
We don't know, right? And Isaac says to him, I think eventually he does find out, because Isaac says to him, like, oh, where is the thing? And Abraham says, okay, the Lord will provide for himself a sacrifice. Again, which is just proclaiming of Jesus to come and save us. And again, and the, you know, but the scripture says he bound him up and everything. So Isaac had to figure it out that, like, oh.
Like, Charlie, where is the lamb? Like, where is the sacrifice? Like, am I? Where is it now?
Yeah, as his dad's tying him up. Like, again, I definitely would love an exclusive interview with Isaac as well. Bless our heart. Oh, man. But again, we see that. And then again, you see the Lord. Again, you see God respond. And so something I would say also, that when you look at the two beautiful accounts in Scripture, is that sacrifice gets the attention of heaven. Like, it commands the attention of heaven. Like, it is this beautiful fragrance that comes up from your life, that it gets the attention of heaven. And so I think when I think of certain questions we've chatted about, I suppose I'm jumping ahead, but I would say that... again, living a life of sacrifice and having a heart of sacrifice before the Lord will naturally keep heaven's eyes on you.
Going back to what you had said about, you know, there are different sermons within the boundaries of you know of Abraham, and I was just thinking of that it is as the man, as the head of his household, it was wise for him not to say where he was going, because like you said, the mother would be like, Sarah would be like, what, this is not happening. So I think we see it also like when we put it into real life situations, there are moments where as the man, you have to not disclose certain things to your wife that God has revealed to you, because as the head, you know, it is God, the man, and then the wife. It is a triangle, right? So I'm just thinking and pondering about that fact of that. Would you say that is also an act of obedience and maybe wisdom as well? Not saying that to his wife, like, I'm potentially gonna sacrifice our son that we for years on end we wanted.
I think that, I mean, it's if I was to sit and think of it again in present day, like imagine if I was married and my husband was like, I'm taking our son that we and he's a miracle child.
Yeah.
And he takes him, and again, of course, because I trust my husband, okay, and then I don't find out until after the fact the camping trip was going to be. But I think, again, obviously it's easier said than done, but I think obviously in my humanity I would be quite ticked, yeah, right? But I would also be relieved because my son is still here. Mm. But I think, again, how I perceive marriage and whatnot, like I wouldn't be married to somebody that I cannot hear from the Lord, and you know, and so I would trust his priestlyhood, like I would trust his relationship with the Lord, that if he did that, and obviously because my son is back in alive with me, I trust that, because I do think in marriage, again, while we become one and everything like that, I still think that even in marriage there's still boundaries that need to be kept. And I think that it is interesting, even in like in marriage, our relationships with the Lord, mm-hmm, that, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, as a couple, it's like you have, okay, I have my relationship with the Lord, you have the relationship with the Lord, and then we have our relationship as a couple, mm-hmm, right? But it's like the altar that I built in my singledom, it doesn't burn away when I get married, right? Yeah. They still speak. And then it's like there's the beautiful journey of when you become one with someone, mm-hmm, then you and your person are building an altar, yeah, together, and then your children, and then it's like it's the continual legacy, right? Yeah. But again, I say that to say that I think that, Brian, I don't know, some of the viewers, you all might disagree with me, but don't Instagram me. we're not giving my Instagram. I know some of the women, I know, I can just feel it. Some of you are getting heated. Mm. But I do think that I think that God's heart for marriage is, again, I think there is a such thing as leadership. And, you know, I think that, as a wife, I would have to trust my husband's his leadership and his following of the Lord, which then is the leader, and the fruit of that is how he leads us as a family and me as his wife and whatnot. So anyways, yeah, tangents.
No, that is a very great take on it, because when you said the altar that you built in your singledom doesn't burn when you get married, because I'm thinking it actually then multiplies, mm-hmm, because two becomes one, and you grow together. Mm-hmm. But I still also believe in the maintaining of your own time with God, mm-hmm, you know, and then coming together and serving
100%.
God, and you know, so we ran off a little bit, but and I think we would do more of that, and that is okay, because mm-hmm, this is free, mm-hmm, okay? hallelujah, we were not good there. Okay, that is an inside joke, y'all. don't mind us. So, and how would you say sacrifice has changed the trajectory of your life, you know?
Oh, we could be here for a long time. I think, again, it's simply put, again, the two examples I gave of essentially it boils down to love and, and again, obedience. And I think that my life is very different from what I planned.
Mm. How so? What did you plan? And oh, wow. Miss Michelle is here like, tell me, what are you doing?
It's good, guys. It's good. It's good.
Yeah, but, like, this is normal.
I'm going to bill him later for all of this.
This is normal between us. Like, I always do things like that, by the way. Unfortunately. That is my child, by the way. Continue.
Yes. Well, you know, to be honest, I mean, my life has taken many twists and turns. I think I could maybe give an example. Like, for example, about 9 years ago, I had the opportunity to get this particular job that would have paid me a lot of money, and it would have been a good time. It would have been a great job, would have made a good amount of money and whatnot, and it was a four-step application process, and again, it was through a connection that I had gotten this job opportunity, and so I was two-thirds of the way through the process, and I just felt super off, and I just, for me, I always tell people, like, I'm like a sailboat, and the wind of God blows me where I'm supposed to go, so for me, I tend to feel, I live in the yes of God, that's what I say, and so when I don't, so it's like, I think for me, I hear God tell me no more than I hear him tell me yes, because my whole life is one big yes unto him, and so I tend to hear him more telling me, like, don't do that, then do that. And in the day-to-day, if I'm off beat, he'll just let me know, and then we get back into rhythm, right? And so I just wasn't feeling the grace on this thing, and I finally just stopped, and I was really fighting myself, and essentially just fighting with the Lord. And finally, I was like, God, and then the Lord spoke to me, and he asked me to lay that down and to let it go, and he talked to me about a few things as to what was motivating me to, like, go after this job, and it was beautiful. We had this whole deep Zozo in the car. But I was sitting outside the prayer house in Toronto, and he said, I want you to humble yourself, and I want you to go and be faithful in the house of prayer. And I was like, oh, God. So, of course, I said yes to the Lord, and in doing that, then it took me on this journey of my heart being open to house of prayer, because before that time, I wasn't a house of prayer person. I mean, I've always loved worship from when I was a little girl and loved music and anything creative, and I'm an African child, so by force, by fire, you love to pray. Every day is Deliverance Day, and every weekend is a crusade. I love my mom. She's an incredible woman of God. I just have to give her a shout out. Hi, Mom. I don't even know if she'll even watch this. She probably will. And then she'll be, it was so powerful. She is my biggest fan, and I love her very much. She's incredible. I'm her biggest fan. But yeah, so, like, here comes this amazing culmination of the two things that are, like, so foundational in my life, which is worship and prayer, and even more particularly intercession. And so I go to the house of prayer, and I am there, and again, God begins, I would say, being in the house of prayer opened up multiple journeys in my life. Journey of healing of the heart, me connecting with my voice, and kind of unlocking this, like, prophetic worship in me that I kind of always knew was there, but I didn't know that that's what it was. I just knew that I had this tendency to kind of feel things in the air and sing them. And so as I grew in the house of prayer, I discovered, oh, that's what that is. Because while I think the prophetic has always been a part of my life, I think it hasn't been, it's been probably the latter part of my life that it's been more pronounced or, like, more intentional or more like, oh, that's what that is. And calling that out. And again, I can see when I look at my life, I've always been attracted, I would say, to, like, the prophetic and then, like, the apostolic. And so, again, the house of prayer took me on this journey. But in that, journey, it led me into a deeper journey of greater sacrifice, where the Lord asked me to, again, serve this particular ministry couple and help them take care of one of their children who had special needs. So it was like, oh man, even deeper sacrifice. Mm-hmm. But again, by His grace, doing it. And I don't want to go on 5,000 tangents, but I wanted to highlight this because it was in this two-year period where I served this particular man and woman of God, that out of that place of sacrifice and obedience, that then I learned how to play the piano. God blessed me with a piano. Mm-hmm. And I learned how to play the piano. And even begun to compose songs that I wrote as a kid.
Your mic.
Yes, the mic, sorry.
Thank you. Otherwise people would not
hear. Yes, I'm so sorry for my blanking outs. But also in that 2 year period, God supernaturally healed me and delivered me from years, like for majority of my life, there was really intense warfare that I would suffer in like bouts of seasons, and it was very difficult and very painful. I would say for like a big chunk of my life, and it would just debilitate me when it would happen. And it was in that place, which to the world standard was a very low place, right? Because what I have ever wanted to be, taking care of a kid, like that was not what I envisioned my life, you know? But it was in that very low place, or as we know, the pit, you know, the preacher in me, that the Lord was so near. And in the simplicity of being in my room and worshiping on the piano that He had given me just a few months prior, when I didn't even know how to play the chord of C. And so essentially, I learned how to play the piano worshiping Jesus.
Amazing.
Thank you. He came in and he delivered me in a song. And so, yeah, I would say I would use as an example of changing the trajectory of my life and the things that happened in that season. And that would have been more than 10 years ago. And here we are, actually, no, exactly 10 years ago. Yes. 9 years ago, and here we are, 9 years later, and I'm sitting in another house of prayer in a different province, telling the story, and I can look back at that season and see how it has, the course and trajectory of my life took so many twists and turns that have now brought me here to tell this story today.
That honestly touches me. It genuinely touches me that out of the place of worship, the like you said, where people deemed as low, is where the most beautiful fruit came out of of it. And that is, I think, for me anyway, I see the beauty of God in that. I see how he just sat with you and just covered you completely and then delivered you. That is amazing. Truly. That is amazing. I need to sit a moment with that, because that really touched me. Although I know already know the story, but like, wow. Wow. And so I think the fact that many people think in the lowest of lows, nothing good can happen, but it is in fact in the lowest of lows that God works tremendously. That we just lift Him up with all of us, like with all of our being. We see it in Mary with the oil out of love, and then also with Abraham, an act of obedience. You obeyed. You know, it's not like something that you wanted.
No.
You know, to be an au pair or whatnot. No. But you just obeyed. And out of your obedience came the act of love. And actually, how I see it is, God knew that this is where your deliverance would be. So you had to go through all of that to be delivered.
And it was, you know, I want to say that this battle that I had gone through for most of my life up until that point, like, there wasn't a conference, there wasn't a Zozo, there wasn't a...
What is a Zozo?
Zozo.
Because even now I'm Zozo. Like Charlie.
Zozo, it's a ministry that is focused on the healing of your soul.
Okay.
And I believe Zozo is actually a Greek word, and it speaks to, again, the healing of your soul. So it's essentially, it's inner healing ministry. Like, okay. And it would be in the same vein of like RTF, which stands for Restoring the Foundations. Yeah. There's HeartSync. There's so many tools out there. They all kind of are different.
Yeah.
Lord knows, I've done all of them. And but they're all amazing and whatnot. But you know, my mom would take me to this man of God, this woman of God, or I mean, there was times like being at a conference, church conference with my mom. And a God bless senior pastor, incredible man of God, and he would be calling for like altar call, and da 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 da, and I would like this dread would come over me because then I'd see my mom coming from across the room,
whoa,
coming to drag me to the altar, and I'm like, Mom, you are totally putting me on blast for everybody to know that I have an issue, and
oh,
that obviously
incredible.
Not only do
oh,
I
gosh.
Have an issue, but you have an issue with my issue, and you're stressing me out right now. And again, it was so humiliating. It was super humiliating, or, I mean, painful. Like going, running, being a part of ministry teams, and praying for people, casting demons out of people, delivering people, and then you go home and you were victorious on the weekend, and then you go home and you're feeling super defeated, you know. But again, I remember having many conversations with the Lord, and I remember. One day standing in the mirror, and I said, you know, devil, I'm going to practice my testimony because this thing will come to its end. And I remember standing in the mirror and just like prophesying to myself and like practicing my testimony of like, you may be shaming me today, but I'm going to shame you.
Amen.
And I'm going to shame you now, and as if it's
your
right
mic,
now, you
your
know, because faith is
hear.
Now, you know? And so, yeah, so... kind of lost my train of thought there. But oh yes, all that to say that it was going like sometimes we think that our deliverance is in the big crusade or the big or the weekend retreat for the church or whatever, but again I love that the Lord gifted me this beautiful testimony of like it was in the bottom basement corner room sitting in my little quarters just playing, and the song that I had, a little melody that I had come up with, and the Lord said, sing that out and prophesy it over yourself. And that, and I remember like feeling so much warfare in my room, and I remember I couldn't see the keyboard at one point, and I was feeling confused, but I could feel the Lord saying, keep pushing, keep pushing, keep pushing. And as I just continued to sing, then like the breakthrough came. And so I say that to say that sometimes our deliverance or our breakthrough, again, isn't in the big, 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 big things or whatever. Sometimes it's just in these little acts, right? And these little acts of obedience that then do lead to this big boom, right? Or like I'm reminded of the story of the cloud the size of a man's head, right? It's not necessarily in the shout. Sometimes it's in the stillness. It's in the quietness.
Yeah.
And so you just never know, right? These seemingly insignificant things, right? But again, and I love this testimony as well because it speaks to the power of worship.
Yeah.
And I've been delivered a lot. I was telling someone the other day, I'm like, there was a season in my life I would worship and then the Lord told me, sit up. And I'd sit up and then I'd just puke. I was like, oh, I got delivered. It was amazing. Like, you know, like it's just great. You just... you worship and puke. There's seasons for that, but it's beautiful. Like, so this is my little plug for like, just worship Jesus at the end of the day. If you don't know what else to do, just worship him. Just look at him and just magnify him because he's just so beautiful. He's just, I don't know, I just get all like, ooh, on the inside. He's so great. He really is Lord and he reigns above it all. And again, I also want to say, like, sometimes, yeah, and this was, like, over 20 years of my life, this struggle. Even I would say over 25 years of my life with this struggle. And again, there's so many lessons that could come out of that. But again, God is faithful, and I want to give God praise for how he just, again, he gave me the songs that carried me through many night seasons. And again, many of those songs came in the low place. It wasn't when I was high up on the stage or in ministry. And I've experienced that. I've had the amazing opportunity to serve many awesome people and be in the lights and all of that, and the Shekah and the Shandas. But it was in that low place. And I'll end with this statement. I remember in another low season of my life, God said to me, I'm the God that will put you in a pit with the full intention to build a palace within you.
Mm.
And so sometimes we can despise our pits, but just know that perhaps you're in that low place because God is building you he's building something higher and more beautiful and more powerful inside of you.
Mm. That is amazing, because when you were speaking, what was coming into my mind was just the simplicity of God mm-hmm. is the most powerful thing mm-hmm. of God.
Mm-hmm.
He just simple, because mm-hmm. sometimes we, like you said, we are serving, we do this, we do that, and all that, but it is truly in the simplicity of mm-hmm. things that God really heals and restores mm-hmm. and does his mm-hmm. greatest job. You know, it is, I'm just thinking about, you know, many moments where for me I was so lost and I was just in the pit as well. And I was just saying, okay, God, here I am. And it is just in the simplicity. Me, I'm a very simple man. And I have seen God work in the simplicity of my life, and it is beautiful to see how God has worked in you. You have gone and been with the highest of highest, truly, and where God ministered to you was in the lowest of lowest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is God not great?
He is.
And mm-hmm. this has to, like, I want people to know that, yes, there's, as you would say, there's a seat on the table for both ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God will deliver you mm-hmm. in the biggest, you know, and he will also deliver you
mm-hmm.
in the basement, as Tim Ross would famously mm-hmm. say. Like, it is there where he builds
mm-hmm.
you know, he, because with worship, I always say to people and yeah, to myself, like, worship is my healing and my restoration
mm-hmm.
moments.
Mm-hmm.
It is truly my healing and mm-hmm. my restoration, because mm-hmm. Charlie, and I'm still here.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because I continued worshiping.
Mm-hmm.
I continued giving God the glory,
mm-hmm.
even when times that it didn't feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
I still said, God,
mm-hmm.
here I am.
Mm-hmm.
And it is amazing to see how God has worked in your life, and I want people who are watching, who are listening to this, to understand that God will minister to you everywhere
mm-hmm.
you are
mm-hmm.
if you just listen and obey. There's this mm-hmm. famous song, trust and obey, because there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey God.
Mm-hmm.
And you trusted
mm-hmm.
and you obeyed
mm-hmm.
and he delivered you.
Mm-hmm.
In the simplicity, for mm-hmm. me, I cannot, like, mm-hmm. I'm still stuck on the simplicity mm-hmm. of it, like, you were in the basement, just you and your piano.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know how to play C. Charlie, I don't even know what a C is, Charlie. I don't even know what a C is, but, you know.
C is for cookie.
I second that. This is an insider. I'm sorry, this is an insider. Hallelujah. For those who are listening, cookie, yes, praise God. It is because I love this particular cookies that I'm very... very, very.
This is low key addicted. Pray yeah. for him.
No, I'm not. I break that in
okay,
the name
okay,
of
we
Jesus.
Cancel that.
Like, we cancel that. What addiction, Charlie?
He's very fond these cookies.
And fun fact, like, I've been going to, you know, this particular shop where we go, and it's finished there. Mm. And I'm like, God, when is this thing going to come back? Because it's, honestly, it is low-key annoying.
Oh.
Tell me, what? Are you like afraid to me right now? So it basically means like, oh, it's okay, it's okay.
Kusa.
Oh, wow, okay, okay. Let's just move on. This woman is like...
I think he's going to have to learn to make the cookies, perhaps. Perhaps the Lord's going to take you on a journey of baking.
With this, I think perhaps. The devil is a liar. Like,
perhaps.
I do not know about that one. So let's move on to our next question, you know. Concerning sacrifice, you know, how would you describe sacrifice as it pertains to being called and being chosen? What is the difference for you in sacrifice?
I think, again, like that scripture, it says, you know, many are called, but few are chosen. And I think some people will, this scripture, it's interesting, I've heard people kind of use it in the context of predestination and like, well, you know what? God didn't choose me, so, you know. And it's like, no. I think that at the end of the day, like the Bible says, many are called, but few are chosen. And I think the reason why few are chosen is because few respond.
Mm.
And so I don't think that it's that God is only choosing few people. I think it's that only few are responding, because heaven is forever calling to us. And again, when you read scripture, you see the beauty of God and his how he makes himself vulnerable to us, and just how mindful he is of us, and like that he really loves us because he comes so near. And like you see in Exodus 3 with Moses and the burning bush, right? Mm-hmm. And like you see when you read it, like the bush was burning and then it caught Moses' attention. Mm-hmm. But you see very clearly, and this is a theme that you can see throughout, where it's not until Moses says, let me turn aside and see what's going on there. And when he chooses to respond, and what was his response? Okay, I see this thing, okay, but let me turn aside. And when he turned aside, that was his response to what he had seen, to God being there. And then you see, the scripture shows us, and then God spoke.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think at the end of the day that we all have the opportunity to be chosen, but it takes us responding to the call. It takes a response. And when you respond, then you're chosen.
Mm-hmm.
Because God has already chosen us.
Mm-hmm.
It's really us who have to choose to be his chosen. Essentially.
Who have to choose to be his chosen.
Yeah. And I think, again, a way that we do respond is with sacrifice. There is no mighty man of God or woman that you can track their life. You know, read God's Generals. I love Smith Wigglesworth.
Yeah.
Read Catherine Kuhlman. Read, you know, or even current men and women of God today. Like if you were to study Apostle Joshua Selman and study his life, you will very clearly see that there is repeated markings of sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we think that sacrifice is like, oh, I've got to slaughter this or that. But sometimes, again, the Bible tells us in Romans 12 that we are living sacrifices, right? Which also then says that, because in order for there to be a sacrifice, there must be a dying of something. And so at the end of the day, we are living to die. And so at the end of the day, I think that sacrifice, it's going to look different in all of our lives. And so I think the most important thing is to constantly be asking, how am I laying down my life for the Lord every day? Because again, we are his bride again. And yes, there is a coming wedding, but we're married to Jesus now because we are betrothed to him and he will come back for us. And again, just like in a marriage, like earlier when we were talking about marriage, essentially, like, you've got to just keep dying. That's what you have to keep doing.
That is the gospel, right?
True. Because in the kingdom of God, death leads to life and life more abundantly. And so if we're willing to keep dying unto the Lord and unto one another, it will produce life and life more abundantly.
Actually, that is something that I'm working on for tomorrow. life and life abundantly. I'm like, wow, okay, God is definitely speaking right now. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. That was beautifully said. That, you know, we are already chosen, but we need to respond.
Mm-hmm.
We need to respond and feel respond,
mm-hmm.
truly. And because I was saying to someone the other day, it was his birthday, and I was saying that there is a difference between the called and the chosen,
mm-hmm.
and they have entered into the chosen. Why? Because they have sacrificed.
Mm-hmm.
They have laid certain mm-hmm. things down
mm-hmm.
that seemed foolish mm-hmm. towards man's eye, but
mm-hmm.
but towards God, it is what is needed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I wholeheartedly believe in responding
mm-hmm.
to the call of God.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we see with Moses. Turned aside, and he could have easily said, like, yo, you know what, I'm not doing that, I'm mm-hmm. not about that, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, but he still chose.
Yeah,
he
to see a burning bush that's, it's burning, but it's not burning away, it's a scary sight.
Yeah.
You know, and again, he could have been like, oh, that's freaky, that's weird. And again, if we bring it into today's world,
mm-hmm.
sometimes, again, God does that, where he puts something in the distance, whether it's an opportunity, it's mm-hmm. a person, it's a ministry,
mm-hmm.
different things. And it's like, oh, God, that's a bit weird. I don't know about that.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we have to make that choice to respond.
Mm-hmm.
And again, on the other side of our response, oftentimes, which essentially is obedient,
mm-hmm.
And it's we respond, and then sometimes, again, if we look at the story of Moses in Exodus 3, it's like, it's kind of like it was a bit of a journey, and it's interesting because he was in the wilderness, and again, he was being faithful. He was just going about his business, everyday life, shepherding. And then in the middle of that, all of a sudden, God comes down in the form of a burning bush.
Mm-hmm.
And again, God just interrupts his mundane life,
mm-hmm.
and he chooses to turn aside and go.
Mm-hmm.
And then in that, God begins to speak to him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, but it's like he walked in a shepherd, but he came out a deliverer.
Mm.
And so sometimes again,
wow.
oftentimes where we can think, and I think, you know, saying this, we get all these words. And again, Moses was marked from the day one. Like, you know, his mother, and again, shout out to parents, discern what's on your children. And the mother saw that he was a beautiful boy.
Mm.
Again, she responded to the mark of God on his life. Therefore, she hid him for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Again, so much that you can unpack there, but it's like her in her responding to what was on his life, wisdom came for her to know
mm-hmm.
how to steward and how to parent him in the current crisis that they were in.
Mm.
There's just so much there.
mm.
Stay focused. But
we will deviate afterward.
Indeed,
you're right. There's so much.
So I say that to say, pulling it into today's time, like, you know, for all of us, we have tons of prophetic words and God speaks and this and that, right? But again, like, notice that the commissioning for Moses didn't come on a stage, or it wasn't in a great act of display in front of Pharaoh or whatever mm. have you. It was God came to him in the faithfulness of his mundane life, and then he responded, and he went in, he turned aside as a shepherd, he entered in as a shepherd, encounters God, and he leaves with his prophetic destiny and like identity as a deliverer.
Mm.
And so I say that to say that where we can wonder sometimes, like, God, why do you have me in this season? Why am I here? Why this? Why that person? Why this situation? Why that door? Whatever have you. But oftentimes it's in that then God comes down.
Yes.
And then destiny gets unlocked and you were one way, and suddenly, boom, it just takes an encounter.
Mm.
And your identity, and Moses was always a deliverer. It was already inside of him.
Yeah.
It was already inside of him, and you can see the markings and the makings of that when you study his life. Everybody should watch Ten Commandments, the original one that's 3 hours. It's amazing. I watch it every year. It's so great. It's 20, I'm probably due to watch it. I watched it in 2023. I'm going to watch it again. It's amazing. It's just so great. Wow. But yeah. Again, you can see the markings of who he was already. And then there comes that moment. And again, just to put that out there for those of you who are listening, that... because again, he was a shepherd, and what did he do? He was leading sheep, but again, then he would lead the children of Israel. And so I encourage you even to look at your life, and you can see in your life that there are markers, there are things in your life that are speaking to the things that you are called to do, and the promises of God, and the things that God has spoken to you. And if you haven't gotten prophetic words, you know, I encourage you to sit with the Lord and to take an inventory of your life and begin to see with the Lord, like his fingerprints and his intentionality. And I guarantee you, if you start to journal and you'll start to see like the little connecting pieces, like, because God is very intentional, and he's just he's the creative of all creatives. And so again, as I go on another tangent, just encourage you with that be faithful. Essentially, what I was trying to say is be faithful where you're at, because it's in faithfulness that oftentimes God just shows up and rocks our world.
Mm. When you mentioned prophetic, I was wondering if for those people, for those who don't believe, and perhaps also for those who do believe, what is prophecy? What is prophesying then?
I think there's so much language around it, but
true. To break it down,
if I was to demystify it, essentially at the end of the day, again, I think that prophetic, there's so many streams, but I think really simply put, it's hearing the heart of the Father for his children. And you're the first kid because, you know, you're his kid. And then you hear for yourself, but you also hear for other people. And the Bible talks about it in 2 Corinthians 14. About to prophesy, to bring comfort, to bring strength, and encouragement to the bodies of believers, right? And so, essentially, simply put, you want prophetic words. Oftentimes, especially amongst the body, like from a brother to a sister, like, you know, the saints to saints, it's often going to be encouraging, it's going to be comforting, it's going to be strengthening to you. It's different from the office of a prophet. When you study prophets, prophets tend to be, you know, they pull down things, build up things, they shake and break things. It's a different thing. Oftentimes, prophets can sometimes also bring corrective words, where they're like, it's a very sharp word, but even in the sharpness of the word, there's always still grace to obey and to respond to it. And so anyways, I would say that's a bit of a difference, because there's a difference between the prophetic, and then there's the office of a prophet. So, and prophets are called by God. They are gifts to the body, and as is the fivefold, right? So a prophet is a gift to the body of Christ, whereas prophecy is the gifting or the grace that's given to believers. Mm-hmm. And it's God's heart that we all prophesy, and God delights in that we're all flowing out of the abundance of his heart to each other's hearts.
Mm, amazing. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we hear a lot of, okay, prophecy, but when we break down, because, you know, there's a lot of language and a lot of Christian language that we need, like, I believe, more understanding the practicality, or just breaking everything down. And you said that so beautifully. So let's go on to our next question. Mm-hmm. Can we live an impactful life without sacrifice, you think?
I think this question is a bit, I'd say, subjective. Because I think impact looks different for everybody,
facts,
right? And so I think it's a subjective question, and it's going to look, that's a question that's going to, the answer is going to look different for every person. Right. I think for me, and I think for probably, I'd say, you and other people, who are living a life of like intentional surrender to the Lord, mm-hmm. We know that it's, our lives will not be impactful without sacrifice, essentially without surrender. Mm. So it's responding to that, okay, God, look, I'm willing to yield my will and my way to you for the sake of the kingdom. Mm. And I think that, I think it's a mindset, because there's some people who are happy to live a simple life, and no shade to those people who maybe don't live such a sacrificial life. You know what I mean? That's your thing. I also, again, go back to, I think our ability to sacrifice, I think there's a strong connection to our level of intimacy with the Lord. Mm. And so, again, it's, you choose how deep you go with the Lord. But even in that, I think there's graces.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think there's some people who, they may not ever know God in certain depths, because God knew when he fashioned and formed them the choices that they would make and certain things. And so he knew the boundaries already that would be in them, mm-hmm. that would meet his boundaries, right? And so I do have a lot of, and maybe a theologian would fight me on this, but I have compassion for that. That's why I think growing up in church, being around so many men and women of God, I don't allow myself to feel condemned when I'm not fasting 88 days without water. Because that's not my grace.
No.
Because I think that, again, even like, and that is a form of sacrifice. Mm-hmm. But again, I think scripture shows us that oftentimes God woos us into those places. Like, look at Jesus. He lived on the earth as a man, fully God, fully man, for 33 years, right? He allowed himself to accrue certain things. Like, something, I wish I had said it last week in my time of teaching on the, like, just proclaiming the blood last week in the dwelling, but I learned this a year ago, that when in Passover, they intentionally get the lamb, and they get it 3 days before they're going to kill it.
Mm.
And they do it on purpose. And what they do is they befriend the lamb. So they build relationship with it. Like they fall in love with the lamb, essentially, right? And the lamb falls in love with them. And it kind of, it's a little bit, it seems a bit twisted, but it's strange. But it's because it's in order for them to feel wounded and when they have to kill the lamb. And it, like, when I heard that, it made me think about the fact that, you know, Jesus was on the earth and he grew in favor with God and man 30 years. And then at 30, that's when he begun his public ministry. And that's when he would have then had the disciples. And so they got to do life with Jesus for about three and a half years. And so then his death to them would have been so much more painful, because they knew him. He was intimate with them. And again, his humanity would have been so acquainted with their humanity, and their humanity so acquainted with his humanity, and also his divinity, thus making his death all the more weighty to them, but all the more weighty to him. And so I think that is, I think, again, it just speaks to that, like, that intimacy is, it's part of the building of the altar for the sacrifice.
Intimacy is part of the building of the altar for the sacrifice.
Yeah.
Wow. Intimacy is part of the building of the altar.
Yeah, I genuinely don't think you can build an altar to sacrifice on without intimacy. Because it's that love, that connection with the Lord that overtakes you, that makes you, that gives you the grace and the strength to be able to do it. And again, it's not always easy. And again, Jesus modeled that for us in Gethsemane, because he even said, like, Father, if there's any way that I can, like, is there another, if there's another option,
this,
you know? And I think I love the Lord that he put that in there for, I think he put that in there just for me. Because sometimes we want to negotiate our obedience with the Lord, negotiate the level of death, you know? But again, I think there's beauty in that, because again, Jesus is showing us how much, like, he knew the cost. Like the Bible says in Psalm, like, before the man can build a house, he has to count the cost. Mm-hmm. And he counted the cost in Gethsemane. Mm-hmm. And again, we oftentimes are counting the cost of our sacrifice, right? And so it's all part of the building of the altar, of the gathering, and then the laying down of the sacrifice. But I don't believe you're going to be able to make great sacrifice if you you can't make great sacrifice without having great intimacy. Mm. That is my belief based on reading scripture.
It goes hand
in hand.
It goes hand in hand. Mm-hmm. You know, having that intimacy then creates that sacrifice. Because if you are not intimate with someone, how do you have the love to mm-hmm. to do something mm-hmm. for them? There needs to be an intimacy. There needs to be communication. There needs to be relationship mm-hmm. built. Then you can, you know, you listen more to people who have like built something, who mm-hmm. has seen you through the good, the bad, and the mm-hmm. ugly. Mm-hmm. There is more credibility towards mm-hmm. that person than mm-hmm. just a random person mm-hmm. or just someone you just met. Mm-hmm. So that goes the same way in regard. Like when you build that intimacy, that relationship, mm-hmm. and it's funny because this morning I was even saying to our housemate that everything for me, I believe everything comes out of the presence of God. Mm-hmm. Everything. Mm-hmm. So when and it goes hand in hand with when you have that intimacy, because mm-hmm. you cannot have the presence without his intimacy, mm-hmm. without having that relationship mm-hmm. with him. And so to have that relationship or to have that presence, you need that relationship. Mm-hmm. And then your altar can be built. Mm-hmm. And I love, for me, the building of altars, you know, that is why we created the dwelling here, because it is something that I was, you and I were, we were. How did that happen again? Because I believe the dwelling stemmed from us wanting to go deeper with our interns, but also more for us as well, mm-hmm. you know. Seeking his face out of that mm-hmm. that we can grow going mm-hmm. into his, like, the simplicity of mm-hmm. of God, basically. Yeah So for you, you believe that intimacy first, we need to have that intimacy to build that altar before him.
Mm-hmm. And I think I say that to say, to comfort the listeners, that again, because I think sometimes we hear the word sacrifice, and sacrifice is supposed to hurt.
Yes.
But
otherwise
again,
it's not sacrifice.
We see that in life that beautiful things do come out of pain.
Yeah.
But the pain is for a moment, and then the reward is so much sweeter, right? Yeah. Like you think of a woman, you know, giving birth to a child, you know what I mean? And even before she gives birth to a child, she has to yield her body to her husband, you know what I mean? And again, that's a form of a surrender and a laying down, right? And so I say that to say that you can rest knowing that God is very kind. And like it says, I think in Psalm 46, like, he knows our frame is weak. Like, I think that's something I've continued to learn about God, like just how aware he is of the weakness of our humanity, and then that's why he's so generous and giving us grace. And to they that have no might, he increases strength. Like, he is so generous, not just with wisdom, but with just all of who he is. And so what I'm trying to say is that, I just get lost in these things, Lord. What I'm trying to say is that don't worry about, I just gave myself a Charlie horse. Don't get so fixed on, oh my God, like, what is God going to ask me to sacrifice? Because God is so kind in that when he asks you to sacrifice, there's nothing he asks you to do that he doesn't give you the grace to do.
Mm.
And again, we see that in Genesis 20:22, because what did Abraham say to Isaac? He said, the Lord will provide for himself.
Mm-hmm.
And so when God is asking you to make a sacrifice, in that he gives you the grace, the ability to do that. It's just all about you leaning into it. And that's where, again, where when you surrender, again, it's like you come under that grace,
mm.
and then you're able to respond to the Lord.
Amazing. Amazing. To that note, I want us to, what would you like to, I think you already said it, because my next question was going to be, what would you like to impart to those who are listed? But you just said that beautifully.
Yeah.
So we will close.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say thank you again. This is hopefully one of many more. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. for those who are listening, Miss Michelle here is just grinning and she's looking at me like, I don't know. So this is just something that we always have fun saying and reacting towards others, ourselves. I mean. Okay. So thank you again.
You're welcome.
Hope to see you on the next pod, maybe next week. Even who knows? So.
Japhet is a man of great faith.
Amen, I am. Yes, I am.
Hallelujah.
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm.
God bless you all. And
thank you,
have
guys.
A blessed time.
Mm-hmm.
Peace.